So we got a pretty long-winded episode here, people. This is it's jam-packed with a lot. I got some choice words, man. I've got a lot of thoughts. But damn it, this is another one that is long overdue. I gotta, you know, for anybody that may have forgotten when I said this, I don't remember which commentary it was I said this on, but I did drop the bomb that I've done this commentary before, and it was an Intoxa commentary, and by the time the credits started rolling, I kind of like just was at a loss for words, and I couldn't really close out properly, and that closer, I don't know if this makes any sense or not, that closer kind of ruined the entire episode for me. Plus, there was a lot of shit that I skimmed over, didn't get a chance to talk about. Because like I said, this movie's jam-packed with so much action, so much emotion, so many themes. It's a lot going on in this film. So this is not a commentary I mind doing over, man. Plus, it was like sometime last year, like in the middle of last year, I want to say, that I did this. And I haven't watched it all the way through since. So I've had some time to kind of gather my thoughts and prep for this, man. And this is another movie that feels like an event, man. And, you know, I started off Black History Month doing the Beach Street commentary. Y'all can go back and check that out if y'all want. But this is a little different, man. I definitely wanted to, I won't say what the next two commentaries will be for this week, but I definitely wanted to dedicate this week in particular to the Black queens, to the Black women, to the Black warriors, the Black female warriors out there, man. And I feel like this is really fitting and this is really proper. And sometimes I tend to ramble on and even sometimes get a little choked up when I celebrate, you know, Black queens on screen, behind the screens and things like that, man. It always brings me back to me doing an episode where I was basically just celebrating people like Ava DuVernay and, you know, Issa Rae and Lena Waithe and, Gina Prince Blythewood. I can't remember if I'm saying her name right, but the woman who directed, I think she did Love and Basketball and The Old Guard, and Lena Waithe actually corrected me on that, man. I remember saying that director's name wrong, and Lena Waithe jumped right on the comments of the post I tagged her in, and she was like, it's actually, this is how you say the name, and she typed it out. But big shout out to Lena Waithe for even listening to that fucking, I think it was a trailer reaction for The Shy, season 6, and listen, I'm not even going to get sidetracked, man, because I'm still trying to get Lena Waithe on the show, man. And, you know, I feel like that's a good segue. Talking about Lena Waithe is a good segue into this movie, man, because this movie is so female-oriented. This movie is so powerful. You're talking about a whole nation of people who are protected by its Black women, man. And I think that was a big problem a lot of people had with this movie when it came out, man. And let's not get too long-winded. Let's skip all the pleasantries and just get into the fact that we're talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, people. Now, I do have to let y'all in on something. If you aren't familiar with my initial thoughts on this movie, I was not a fan of the fact that this movie was going into production so soon after Chadwick Boseman, recipe shout out to him, had passed away. I did an entire episode talking about why this was a bad idea to go into production the same summer that Chadwick Boseman had passed away. I believe it was the same summer. If I'm not mistaken, it was. And it wasn't necessarily a rant from what I remember, but I said, they are going to rush this movie. This is a terrible idea. And then they had the idea that, you know, they were going to make Shuri the Black Panther, which does happen in the comics. I'm not sure exactly how long it happens, but then I'm like, you know, I went back and checked the source material. And if memory serves correct, I checked the source material and I was like, look, if you make Shuri the Black Panther, T'Challa was present when that happened. Storm was present. So if you introduce Storm, you have to have a segue or Easter eggs that lead into the introducing the X-Men, which is something that Marvel hasn't, you know, they did it recently. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody because the movie came out like a couple months ago and there's a lot of people that haven't seen it. But, you know, there was certain variables involved that had to happen in order for Shuri to become Black Panther. And I was like, well, if y'all are going to do that, Don't do it in the second movie. You know, do it in the third movie that's going to lead up to, you know, the rest of the franchise. I just wasn't sure what they were going to do and how they were going to pull this off. And I definitely wasn't sure how they were going to pull off a Black Panther sequel without Chadwick Boseman. Man, Chadwick Boseman was an actor who you don't get that caliber of actor every day, man. You don't get a caliber of actor who can do his own thing, not only do his own thing in multiple roles, not only be arguably the most influential black superhero that we've ever seen on screen before, culturally inspirational, but you had this guy, this talent in Chadwick Boseman that was able to star in multiple biopics. You get, like, if you're lucky, you get one biopic in your lifetime as a great actor, as an amazing actor. And Chadwick Boseman, if I'm not mistaken, had about three. He played Thurgood Marshall, he played Jackie Robinson, and he played James Brown. And some of the makeup in James Brown's a little bit shiny, Vampire in Brooklyn prosthetic shiny, but... like, he did his thing in that movie, man. Get on up. I did not see Thurgood, or I think it was called Marshall. It wasn't called Thurgood. I'm lying like a motherfucker, but I did not see that movie just yet, and I did not see 42. 42, I'm actually debating. I always slip up with this shit, man. I'm always like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm dropping, and then I always tell you guys what I'm dropping, but I was thinking about doing commentary for 42 for March Madness. I did not want to limit March Madness commentary to just basketball-themed movies, but we'll see what happens, man. But I say all that to say this. You know, when Chadwick Boseman passed away, that shocked the world because nobody knew he was sick, and I respect the family and his creative team's decisions to keep that, you know, disclosed information. I really appreciate that, man. But when he died, it was bigger than the movie, honestly. You know, that shook the world to its core, and everybody took a major loss because this was a guy who was, you know, not just a superhero on screen, but off screen, man. He was very active in the community. He did a lot for, you know, charitable events and things like that, man. He was an inspirational guy at the end of the day. So there were a lot of people out there that were wondering, well, do they recast him? I initially thought that they were just going to write him out of the movie and that they were going to, maybe possibly like CG him the way that they did Paul Walker in Furious 7. But I was like, that is risky business. Now, I would have taken the fact, you know, if they would have CG'd him and he's like, you know, in the opening of the movie and he's like, yeah, I got to go on this mission to such and such. And, you know, I'll be back shortly. And then we jump the movie off. Cool. But they made this was such a ballsy decision. And the Fast and Furious franchise didn't even do this when the late great Paul Walker passed away. They kept him alive in the Fast and Furious universe. This movie does not do that. And I feel like that is one of the things that lends itself to the emotional themes of this movie, man. This is a movie, it's one of those movies of that year that it came out that got tears out of me, man. The trailer alone, if you guys go back and listen to my trailer reaction, all doubts went out the window. And I should have never had a doubt in the first fucking place, but we're almost 8 minutes into this intro, people. Ryan Coogler back to direct this movie, man. And that is a guy, I want to interview Ryan Coogler so bad. Like, I used to just think, yeah, I want to hang out and have a beer with these guys and chat. No, I want to, like, really genuinely sit down and have a conversation with Ryan Coogler just to see the types of things that go on in his head and the types of things that motivate him as a writer and director. Because for this guy to be relatively new, I think Fruitvale Station was his first feature film. To see his transition from Fruitvale Station, and obviously he's done things in between that, but from Fruitvale Station to Wakanda Forever, that is a hell of a fucking career. And that is something that is... like, I have so much admiration for this guy, man. And if you watch all of his interviews, he's such a well-spoken, soft-spoken, humble guy. So I can only imagine, you know, what type of direction he has, the comfortable direction he has his cast members under, man. He's a really amazing director. And he is very much for the culture, man. You talk about Fruitvale Station, as heartbreaking as that film is, it's a very powerful film nonetheless. And I feel like Ryan Coogler, that's all he has to his resume is powerful films. And also Creed, you know, he captured the essence of Philly perfectly, you know. And I don't even, he's not even from here. So it's hard to capture Philly when you're not from here, man. But he had all the right people behind him, you know, to help assist him in the making of that movie. Then he did Black Panther, then now here we are with Wakanda Forever. And speaking of having all the right people in your corner to help you, you know, to assist you in making the dream come true, he also had Joe Robert Cole help him out with the script. And the cast here, we got Letitia Wright coming back as Shuri. Lupita Nyong'o's in here. I always say her name wrong. Michonne for you Walking Dead fans out there. But Danai Gurira, she corrected one of these interviewers out there very slowly. And I was like, I need to get her name right ASAP. But you got Winston Duke. Angela Bassett is in here. Martin Freeman comes back. You got Dominique Thorne, who's introduced as Riri Williams, a.k.a. Ironheart. And feel like one of the most noteworthy new additions we got here before we jump into this commentary is Tanakh Huerta as Namor, the Submariner, man. And I think Namor is just an amazing character. Namor is actually one of those characters that he's got so many layers as a villain that it almost makes you, like, it doesn't almost, but it does make you sympathetic at times, and it makes you understand him. Namor is a complex character, and I'm not going to lie, man, I don't know what the future of Black Panther and just the MCU in general holds, but I do feel like, excuse me, people, I do feel like Namor is definitely a villain that I want to see come back into the fold. I don't necessarily want to see him come back and be a good guy and just be doing all this crazy shit, you know, getting along with everybody. But he has probably two moments in particular where he is intimidating as fuck. But the actor is very smooth, man. I did not, I haven't seen him in anything other than the Forever Purge. And I haven't even finished watching that movie all the way, people, but God damn, man, you could tell how passionate I am about this commentary we're about to get into. It's already a long-winded movie, and here we are with a long-winded intro that's 11 minutes long, but let's get it popping, people. This is on Voodoo streaming, just in case y'all are tuning in, man, and y'all know if y'all are tuning in, y'all are the true Tudor Reviews MVPs. So let's jump this off one time for the one time. Like I said, man, I wanted to dedicate this week's commentary to the females, the strong Black females out there during Black History Month. So this one is for y'all, and of course for the Marvel fans out there and the fans of the people who are fans of all the other things in this movie, man. But let's jump into this commentary, people. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I will hit the play button in 3, 2, 1. I need to get some volume up on this, people. For reals.
Time is running out. Please allow me to heal my brother of this illness, and I will never question your existence.
I had almost forgot they didn't start with the Marvel logo.
Jumping back, where are we?
We are finishing that sequence now.
Chaos, give me the control!
As you wish, princess.
What is the confidence rate?
25%.
We have to try another way.
King T'Challa's heart rate has fallen to 31 beats per minute.
Princess, you should go be by his side.
Captain Sink, everyone get out! Get out!
The fuck out of here! This was intense, man. When I saw this, I was like, holy shit. I was like, they're starting this movie off and she's trying to save him?
Princess, I am aware of the urgency, but I must warn you. This synthetic heart-shaped herb has a minimal chance of producing the desired effects.
I don't care! Has to work!
Yeah, I didn't build you to debate me. Just do what the fuck I asked you to do. Now, I don't remember exactly what it is that's about to... I may have missed it. Spacing out, but... Exactly what took T'Challa. But when you see Angela Bassett walk in the room, you know what it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's my brother's heart rate.
Your brother is with the ancestors.
It's kind of like disbelief and just sheer pain. This movie, and I knew in the trailer when they're in all white and they're having like that celebratory event, I knew that that was more than likely T'Challa's funeral, and I was like, that is going to be an emotional fucking sequence, and it was. It was such a ballsy move, man, and the fact that they pulled it off, and in the opening of the film. Is beyond me, man. But I love that they kept it as a cultural thing, man. Because it, you know, it was something Michelle Rodriguez said. You know, when they were doing like an interview for Furious 7, and she said that one of the things she loved about it was that it gives the audience a chance to say goodbye, you know, to a character and the person, which was Paul Walker. But that's what this is here, man. It's letting the fans mourn both Chadwick Boseman and I won't even say mourn, I'll say celebrate. I mean, whatever you choose, but it's letting you do that for both Chadwick Boseman and the character T'Challa, man. It is such a great double entendre on screen. And I feel like a lot of the pain shown in these characters' faces, that is a beautiful mural, whoever drew that. Set design, costume design, everything's going for this shit right here. But the pain that everybody's like just conveying on screen, man, is it's real. You know, they're channeling that from a real place. You watch a lot of interviews and a lot of people ask actors and actresses, you know, how did you pull that pain out of you for that scene? But I'm almost sure everybody had the same thoughts in their mind when it came time for emotional sequences. And this is an emotionally heavy movie, man. This is the most emotional Marvel movie for me. And that's, you know, regular Marvel, MCU Marvel, it doesn't matter. Now, there was a comment online. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying I'm against it. But somebody said, where did they take T'Challa and what are they going to do with him? You know, will he pop up for sequels to come? Will they bring him back? Because it's the MCU. You can bring anybody back. But I feel like giving him a send-off like this, it's like if you bring Iron Man back. I don't want to see Iron Man again. I love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, but I don't want to see him again. It ruins Endgame's emotional stakes and the emotional impact of his death. So to bring T'Challa back, it's, oh my God, I would love to see the character again, but like, shit like this, nah, just let this moment in time be what it is. I promise y'all I'm not gonna cry, because Shuri, you know, this is always, I love that he ascended, he didn't descend, you know, they didn't put him into the ground, they took him into the sky, complete opposite of what we're used to in real life. But you know, when you get that last goodbye, like in real life, we know the casket lowers into the ground. That's usually a very emotional part. I know I've been to my fair share of funerals. That's always like one of the worst parts for me, if not the worst. It's the final goodbye. So Shuri's reaction is really realistic, because she feels so guilty throughout the course of this movie. She feels like she couldn't save her brother. Look how beautiful that shot is. So another thing I can credit Ryan Coogler for is the fact that this is, you know, especially after losing your lead actor and his brother in real life, man, like not blood brother, but you know, this is how you do a sequel, man. I had minor gripes with the first Black Panther, the CG in the third act sequence being, or in the third act altogether being one of the gripes, but they stepped it the fuck up in this one, man. This is one of, you know, next to Avatar Way of Water, this is one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. I saw Avatar Way of Water recently, by the way. Goddamn, 10 out of 10, damn it. James Cameron, I used to talk a lot of shit about James Cameron making Avatar 18. But I'm ready for it. One thing I could say I love about the Marvel movies,
I believe,
while I don't care for politics in particular, the Marvel movies, when they get political, it definitely shows that
failure to stand by promises to participate in global efforts to tackle.
A lot of these Marvel characters are human, and if they aren't, if they're enhanced humans, their human qualities allow them to be in moments like this. You know, it's like Iron Man being at a press conference, or the Avengers getting checked by the government, you know, because they keep blowing shit up. You know, they're very present. They're not shadowy, phantom-esque type figures. You know, they're very present. The world knows about these characters. They know about their civilizations. And I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate Angela Bassett's hat right there.
It has always been our policy to never trade vibranium under any circumstance. Not because of the dangerous potential of vibranium, but because of the dangerous potential of you.
Oh, shit, this was wild, man. Oh, no. This isn't, I think this is when,
J'ai perdu le visuel de sécurité.
Okay, never mind. This isn't when the I'm Blue Dada Vita people attack the ship. I'm sorry, I forgot what they're called. But I love those people too. They look like the Na'vi. Those blue folk.
But we know what you whisper in your halls of leadership and in your military facilities. The king is dead. The Black Panther is gone.
Not quite.
We have lost the protector.
Oh, and by the way, let me get this out the way, man. He's looking as like, is that Michonne from The Walking Dead? I lost my whole train of thought, people, because they are whooping their asses in here. What I was going to say was, let me just get this out the way now. You know, there was a big debate about, you know, whether Angela Bassett got snubbed at the Oscars, whether she should have won, I think, Best Supporting Actress over Jamie Lee Curtis in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I was happy for, you know, I was tired of Angela Bassett getting Oscar snubs. But I was happy for Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, I wasn't that guy that was just going to be like, oh, well, Angela Bassett should have got it. I did see Wakanda Forever, but I didn't see Everything Everywhere All at Once at the time. So I had to reserve judgment. And I did see Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think that was the first commentary I did for the start of the new year. And after seeing Jamie Lee Curtis' performance in the movie, it's not bad, but there's no way in hell that she should have got it over Angela Bassett. So I can understand everybody's frustration. But there were people frustrated over who haven't even seen Jamie Lee Curtis' performance in the movie. So I'm like, you got to be fair at the end of the day.
Further attempts on our resources will be considered an act of aggression and met with a much steeper response. We mourn the loss of our king, but do not think for a second.
And it's wild, man, that it was so many black men that were bitching about the fact that, oh, they're taking away our masculinity by having a female-led Wakanda movie. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, Wakanda's been protected by its women. That's who protects the land. It seems like we can't have shit without people just trying to discourage it and just bring it down and just pushing a woke agenda. Like, come on, man. We should be happy that this movie even exists. This is a step forward for females, man, for black women in particular. You never would have gotten a movie like this in the 80s or the 90s or something like that. I don't think it's taken away from our masculinity at all, man. I think it's when there's just diversity and versatility in these properties in general. People just, they don't know how to respond to it. They get intimidated by it.
All my life support is in the green.
Copy you.
It's like the Marvels, you know. I still haven't watched it all the way through, but the Marvels, you know, people are like, what, three girls? They can't do that. It's like, that's how it is, man. Like, people really... I don't get it, man.
Perfect. So, Salazar, you are near the site right there.
Yeah, it's astonishing. The drill seemed to make contact with a metallic substance.
Whatever it is, it's solid. I've never seen a drill bit shoot up like this before.
And you never will again.
Help me. Vibrating the Yush.
Let's go ahead and get the detector out of there, since it's the only one we've got.
Heading towards the vibranium detector.
I wonder what the I'm not even gonna look it up. I was about to say, I wonder what the budget was for this movie. Probably like $6 trillion. Cause the underwater sequences look fucking amazing, yo. When they show
copy that, I'm gonna fix
that. Is it Atlantis or did they call it something else? Tolakon? We'll see. The way they made that city, that underwater city look, my god. And there's a scene where Namor is like, he's coming down from the surface or something like that, or he's going down further into his kingdom, and he sits on his throne that's just in like these big ass megalodon teeth, and the music they're playing, oh god, you know it's going to be a storm.
Jackson, tell me you're seeing this.
Hang on, Salazar's heart rate. Hey, Salazar, can you give me a visual?
Yeah, nah, I'm going to hit that ejecto-cito, because I'm out of there. See? Signal lost. See? See?
Salazar, we just lost Jackson's vitals. Can you see him?
She's like, no, he's dead. Shit.
He's gone.
Can you clarify? What do you mean by he's gone? Salazar, do you copy? Salazar.
She's like, I can't breathe. She start hyperventilating and shit. Ooh, wee. This is almost terrifying right here. How they coming up from the water. It's some Land of the Dead shit.
What's that sound?
Has she got a visual on what's making that sound?
She's like, we need to sample that on the next mixtape. That sound is beautiful. But this was crazy, you know, they've got those sounds that they make that make people just jump overboard. I would be so frustrated if I heard that sound and was forced to just throw myself overboard or even just walk overboard calmly, because the whole time in my mind I'm thinking like, please don't do this to yourself because you can't fucking swim.
Some kind of sonic attack.
Hey, it's me. Earplugs.
That's smart.
We are under attack. You need to send in a strike team immediately.
Copy.
I thought that pilot was Mark Zuckerberg for a second.
Wakandans. It has to be.
Oh. So because those voices is just so soulful and melodic, it's gotta be the Wakandans, right? Because they black. That's racist. He's like, I don't have any control over my body.
What's going on? You don't see it.
Oof. Ugh. Right to the wall. Oof. They weren't playing no games. It's like, is she shooting bullets or what? Shit's just bounced right off of him. Look how they... Oh my god. Just yanked the door off. Now, I don't remember if they get away or if they take that helicopter down. And I love the way they made them look. Again, like, costume design is amazing. I love they have those little, you know, those masks on with the water that help them breathe on the surface. I love that shit, man.
Yeah.
There's that music. That music pops up again, but it doesn't work as well in this scene as it does when it pops up again. So my boy with the Icarus feet. It just made me think, man. Because Tanakh Huerta, is he Latino American? Let me check just to be sure, because I don't want anybody out there like, he's not Latino, he's from Portugal or some shit like that. But I remember seeing an interview with Dr. Umar Johnson talking about Wakanda Forever, and he's like, this movie's putting the blacks and the browns against each other, and this is the agenda. And it's like, just fucking stop it. Stop it. We can't have shit without somebody forcing some type of goddamn agenda on it, man. Just enjoy the motherfucking movie. Okay, Tanakh Huerta is a Mexican actor. He's done a number of movies in Latin America and Spain. So good for him. But yeah, that's what Dr. Umar Johnson was saying. They're putting blacks and browns. He's like, I didn't go to the theater to see Wakanda Forever to see blacks and browns fighting each other. It's like, could you stop? Like, if I'm glad I'm not that person. I love breaking down movies in my own personal time. I definitely love breaking down movies on the show with y'all. I love doing streams, talking to other people, talking to people online, breaking down film. But I would be one, me personally, and it's not shading anybody, I would be one, like, just ignorant in a lot of ways, miserable and just angry motherfucker, man, if I just broke everything down for conspiracy theories and shit like that. Like, don't get me wrong, I got my theories. I got my theories every once in a while. But I don't let it take me out of a film. You know, I'm here for 1 to 2 hours, 3 if the movie's interesting enough, to turn my brain off in a lot of different ways and just have the best sense of escapism ever. People don't know how to enjoy films anymore.
Everyone seems to be working diligently.
Yes. Rapid emergency response tasks. There could be any number of unknown threats on the horizon. They're creating solutions.
Oh, what is this?
Exosuits for our army. It grants the user superhuman strength, speed.
Was that the Midnight Angels they called it or something? Always, Koya had no. Is that what they called it, or did I just make that up?
She hates them.
But I love that the women have those suits on at the end of the movie.
What about recreating the heart-shaped air? Have you made any progress on that?
Excuse me, Princess. Nakia, daughter of Yar, is trying to reach you again.
Maybe you should continue your calculations as I instruct you.
It's like, but maybe you should shut the fuck up. That's how you got to talk to AI technology sometimes, man. Because, again, I did not create you to debate me.
The mantle has unified our nation for centuries.
The Black Panther is a relic, Mother. I wasn't trying to save the mantle with the herb. I was trying to save my brother.
Do you know what day it is?
Tuesday.
The date, child.
She's like, Friday the 13th.
Brother's passing.
If it was, they'd be fine. Jason wouldn't last a second in Wakanda. Speaking of which, man, did y'all know that they pitched Jason in Africa at some point? No bullshit. Go look it up, people. There were ideas to take Jason all over the fucking place. I think, and then they finally decided to take him to space.
No, you won't meet them where we are going. And the other two.
But Jason in Africa, like, don't put Jason in Africa, don't put him in the hood. I think the closest you put Jason in the hood was Jason Takes Manhattan. And that don't even count because he only had, what, 5-10 minutes in Manhattan in that movie? And the two gangbangers, quote unquote, that he ran into was the stupidest motherfuckers in the world.
You just sit here with her. And with yourself. It is the only way you're going to heal from the wound caused by T'Challa's death.
I'm fine, Mother. You don't have to worry about me. He's gone, but I'm moving forward.
T'Challa is dead. But that doesn't mean he's gone. When that illness took your brother from us, I had to lead a wounded nation and a broken world. But I still took time in the bush. I wandered until I found water, and I sat. Then I did this ritual that I am about to show you now. I found your brother in the breeze, pushing me.
You know something? The hair, the accent makes me wonder if Angela Bassett would have been, you know, a really memorable Storm in the MCU. I feel like low-key, that was a missed opportunity. I don't know if they would have wanted to go with a younger actress who could probably pull off more physical stunt work. I'm not saying Angela Bassett can't, but I haven't seen her in any, like, roles that would require her to do, like, wire work and, you know, fight sequences and things of that nature. But I'm wondering, like, a more seasoned
what
Storm.
When you think of your brother?
Makes me wonder who they're going to cast as Storm for the MCU. Because we've had Halle Berry, and a lot of people say Halle Berry didn't really have shit to do in those movies. She was in the first three, and she was in Days of Future Past. I never disliked Halle Berry as Storm. I just wish they gave her more to do when she, like, the way she looked in Days of Future Past, she looked badass, man. She was fine as hell, was a badass. Like, I loved the way her hair looked and her costume in that post-apocalyptic part she was in. And I love everything they gave her to do in part three. You know, she got her ass, Callisto beat the brakes off of her in X-Men 3, but I didn't mind Halle Berry as Storm. She just had that terrible line in the first one, the same thing that happens to everything else. And then you had Alexandra Shipp in, you know, as the younger Storm, who nailed the accent, and I think she had a good look for the character.
Everyone in it.
Jure, there's something that I need to tell you about your brother.
So I'm wondering, what was it? Like, do we ever get back to that? I do not remember if we get back to the whole... heard, you know, revealing the secret.
It cannot be a part of your ritual.
It isn't. Stop! Right there! Who are you? Did you get in here?
This place is amazing.
He's so impressed with this shit.
The border. My mother told stories about a place like this. A protected land with people that never have to leave, that never have to change who they were. What reason do you have to reveal your secret to the world?
I am not a woman who enjoys repeating herself. Who are you?
I have many names. My people call me Ahkukumkan. But my enemies call me Namor.
Yeah, I'll call you Namor.
The American military detected Vibranium under my nation's domain. I was able to stop them from mining it. But we need Wakanda's help to prevent it from happening again. They use a machine designed by an American scientist.
Vibranium only exists here.
I'd have been like, bruh, I really want to take you seriously, but the Keebler elf ears, you're killing me.
Your son exposed the power of Vibranium to the world. In response, other nations have begun searching the planet for it. His choice has compromised us. I think Wakanda could find the scientists and bring them to me. It is only fair that Wakanda helps to resolve our dilemma.
You do not sneak into my country and tell me what to say.
I have more soldiers than this land has blades of grass. And they have incomparable strength. I would hate to come back under different circumstances.
Hey, yo. Name, listen, when movie or comic book movie villains, excuse me, y'all, because that was cold-blooded. When they drop bars, like, they might, that might as well be a rap line right there. That's a bar. Namor writes rhymes, yo. I'm convinced. Like, he's got bars. He gonna say, I have more, what do you say, I got more warriors than y'all have blades of grass? Jesus. Yo, I'd have been like, okay, mom, I don't think we should take that line lightly. I feel like that line has slipped by me.
Sure. How did you do that?
We must convene the council.
The council, they like, listen, this motherfucker just said he got more people than we got grass. So, we might be in trouble.
Has been breached. If my soldiers were present, this fishman.
That'd have been me walking in with teriyaki beef jerky.
If muscle brains were present, they would still be there, choking on their fuzzy adornments.
You bored the demon.
Show some respect, you two.
Respect? These men should be ashamed to show their faces.
Watch your tone, Jabari.
Like, we were. They're like, alright, enough. Enough, damn it.
As I was saying, there was no aerial surveillance footage of him.
And nothing on the radar as well.
So he swam underwater for 100 kilometers.
He was not alone. And claims to command a massive arm. He wants us to deliver one American scientist.
This actress here, oh, I wish I remembered this woman's name, but I think the first Black Panther was her very first movie.
Access to Vibranium before. And we have no Black Panther to protect us.
That is because this wise counselor allowed Killmonger to take the throne.
That's
and
true.
And all of your precious hearts, Chef Deb.
M'Baku, what would you have us do?
We should find the fishman and kill him.
Simple and plain.
If we do what he is asking for now, what is to stop him from coming back and asking for more?
He tried to let them know. Okay, now I'll say this. There were times where Namor was kind of rational, but his methods, like how he talks to them, is crazy. You know, he tells Shuri at some point in the movie, Wakanda will not win a war with Tolakan. So he basically told her, yo, get down and lay down. You know, you can be with me or you can be against me and know that you're going to lose type of shit. Like, you're not going to take that lightly. You're going to take offense to that. Like, well, hold on. What makes you think we can't win?
I am still struggling to believe that Vibranium exists outside of Wakanda.
Perhaps there was more than one meteorite. Our planet is covered of mostly water, so it's reasonable that the other one just landed there.
This changes everything that we know. The Great Mound, all of the legends and fables. Those stories are seared in my mind.
That sounds very painful.
So we have to find this scientist after all. I do have an idea. I'm going to need the princess.
Out of the question. She is in no state to be in the field.
Umkanikas. It may do her some good to get out. It might just be exactly what she needs. Besides, I can do this American operation with my eyes closed. It's not the
American. Let's not get arrogant here. By the way, people, there is a rumor, now they're actually posting articles about it, but it is rumored that we are getting another Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. It's supposed to be called Texas Chainsaw Legacy. I want a sequel to the 2022 Netflix movie. But I'm wondering how y'all feel about that. I think a lot of people are all leather faced out. Yeah, he knows. He's like, oh, he's like, this is a Wakandan drone.
Yeah, I got it.
Shit just flew away. He's like, okay.
Slow down. You didn't mean to call?
Now, why would I have your number? We are looking for the scientist who built the vibranium detector.
So it was you guys in the attic. Come on. Mining ship, a lot of casualties.
What happened?
Seriously? It was a joint operation. Us and the SEALs. 30 of their top guys, 2 of our best officers, friends of mine. Gone. Just like that. You throw in the fact that they were tracking vibranium.
I can assure you, Wakanda had nothing to do with this.
So who was it?
Yeah, watch your mouth, bro.
The way that this is supposed to work is that I give you information and you reciprocate.
For our own safety, we cannot tell you. It's imperative that we get to the scientists before anything else happens. You owe me, Ross. You owe my brother.
He's like, no, why you gotta bring your brother into this?
Okay, look. There are agents who have been sentenced to death for less than I'm about to give you now. And we got a new director. He's watching you like a hawk.
We will be very, very careful.
Not just careful. You gotta be fast. The U.S. needs another machine, and this kid is the only person in the world who knows how to build one. So they're coming for her.
A kid?
Cambridge, Massachusetts. Massachusetts.
You forgot to Venmo me.
I slipped my mind, so. 800, right?
800 was yesterday's price. It's a ban today.
That's damn! Yesterday's price is not today's price.
You just corrected the grip algorithm?
What grade did you get?
Thanks.
Yep, send me my bread, motherfucker. Listen, I like Riri Williams, man. There's a lot of people I have not... Like, I'm telling you, 90% of the comments I've read online from people said that her character was pointless, her character was annoying, her character was unnecessary, her character was this, her character was that. She acts like a young girl would in a situation like this. And I thought it would be too much, but I don't mind her character, so much so that I'm looking forward to seeing the Ironheart TV series.
It will be more discreet.
Again, a female black-led Marvel property, like in the form of a TV series. Obviously, it's going to get a lot of hate, the same way Miss Marvel did, the same way this movie does, even the same way She-Hulk did. But I'm with it. I'm all for it. Plus, her character, the story doesn't really move along without her character, so I'm cool with it. Shuri did not look like she go to that motherfucking school. She looked like a fucking undercover cop.
Yo, Riri Williams?
Yo, I don't do drop eyes no more. You gotta go to the website. It's an encrypted file. I want you to airdrop it.
Unless she recognized her, and Shuri's just like, shut the fuck up. Don't blow my cover.
What the hell are you doing here? Oh shit, am I getting recruited? No, I'm here by the vibranium detector.
Like, and Riri Williams, she's either, in a lot of these situations, she's either confused or she's like, she's nervous. She's snappy at times.
To be young, gifted, and black, though, right? Y'all probably don't say that in Wakanda. How old are you? 19. Brilliance at a young age is not always accepted by the elders.
It's
How
true.
Long did it take you?
Couple months.
Couple months. The hardest part was finding big enough mylar sheets to cover
Wait, did I piss off Wakanda? Not just us. This place is no longer safe for you. Gather your things and come with me. Right now.
I got differential equations class in like 15 minutes.
Okay. Okay. You wait right here. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'm just gonna...
Ooh!
I had it under control.
She scared the shit out of her.
5 minutes. I give you 6. Get out. Get out of my door. Get out. Hey. I'm warning you. Do not take another step toward me.
See how they teach the children to treat their guests. Mm.
Woof!
It's all right, princess. Small girl. I am going to give you 2 options. You can come to Wakanda, conscious or unconscious.
And she mean that shit, too.
You need to be conscious of the way that you look. Walking around here with that ash on your head.
I love how Shuri just cleaned up her act.
You look good. Calm down. Leave, okay? And she can deal with that man. The winged ankles, who wants to kill her all by herself.
You got this.
With your heater.
I just got a notification. Somebody just gave me.
What exactly is this?
Dean Harris Wolfson just said, I've got an oddball recommendation for you. A very underrated movie called Funny Bones, starring Oliver Platt and Jerry Lewis. So let me mark that down. I don't know if it's going to get done this month, but I am going to mark this down. I love when y'all give me recommendations, man.
So the design for the machine is on.
We were actually, he mentioned Oliver Platt because I had almost confused Oliver Platt with, God damn.
Ever locked yourself out?
I don't remember. I just lost my train of thought. But we were talking about that TV show, The Bear. Let me get sidetracked real quick, people. The Bear on FX. If y'all have not seen that TV show, do yourself a favor and watch it.
Shit. Who is that?
25 to 30, maybe 40-minute episodes. They fly right by. And I promise you, I started season 1 last night. I stopped at episode 5 because I was getting a little tired. But I feel like I'm going to be done season 1 into season 2 by the end of this week. Show is that good. It's amazing, man. Jeremy Allen White is becoming one of my favorite new actors to watch. Started watching him on Shameless, and his character Lip Gallagher is one of my he is the best character on the show. So when I saw he was in The Bear, Michael Vanderpool, big shout out to him from the Cinemaniacs. He actually recommended I watch The Bear. He was like, "Yo, you're gonna fucking love it." And sure enough, he was right.
Namor sank an entire ship of CIA operatives.
But The Bear, I'm telling you, man, if you've worked in restaurants, especially like worked in back of the house, in the kitchen, it'll bring you so many memories, maybe nightmares, PTSD shit.
Out of the question. Does this vehicle work?
No. Everything in this lab works. Including this fight.
Don't even think about it. Besides, there are 3 of us.
So we are. I'm taking this.
Woo! I knew it.
Don't tell me that you built this in 2 months.
I spent years on it.
On and off. Nice. Have you flown it yet?
That thing can fly.
There's an entire YouTube channel dedicated to sightings of it. That's awesome. We
have a warrant. I'd be scared as hell to get in that suit and fly around.
So we can communicate. Don't try to scurry off.
Hey, please be careful. She's on the sea. Once we get to the other side of the bridge, we can lose them in Boston traffic. General, we really need to split up.
Listen to me. We are not in your lab. We are in the field. Now, get out in the car.
What is shouting at me?
It's about to get a little crazy.
The tactical unit will breach the entrance in 3, 2,
I skid it. What? I feel like I never knew he said that.
Is it in flight?
Yes, princess.
No!
Remote piloting activated.
I'd have been screaming at the top of my lungs flying in that damn thing. If it came with a manual, I'd use it. So if we were in this chase sequence. But the car would be fine. I don't do crotch rockets, man. That damn motorbike Shuri's on, I would fly off that shit in 2 seconds. Woof! I love how she puts that spear through the back like that. Ugh! Woof! Listen, in any movie where a car just spins around and peels out like that, I love it. And this was great, man, because you get one action sequence that leads into another.
There is a surveillance drone locked onto you.
How high?
20,000 feet.
So high that I can kiss the sky?
Hang on. I got it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was about to get in way over her head in this point, because I think the air starts to get a little different for her. Right. Yep. She's like, yo, I got it. I just gotta. And she just fucking kind of passes out.
Oxygen level is now 30%.
She's like, if I could just get it under, if I could just get it under 10, I'll be good.
Oxygen 0%.
She just passed the fuck out.
Altitude 500 feet and falling.
That's a dope shot right there. The car, the motorcycle, and Riri like just rocking out together. Short lived, but I love that fucking shot. Oh yeah. Now see how Shuri, the little water grenade, how Shuri's flying off the bike. That would have been me as soon as the bike took off to start the chase sequence. That would have been me fucking crashing. I'm telling y'all. I would have flipped. I'm telling y'all, man. I know I've said this before in other episodes, but that me crashing on a moped, like literally before I went to the movies to see The Mummy Returns, I crashed on a moped in somebody's driveway, and I've just got. It was too bad of an experience for me to ever get back on anything with two wheels and a motor. Can't do it.
The princess's vitals are stable, General. She should regain consciousness momentarily.
They just pulling Riri's suit like they hauling scrap metal, though. That's, listen, what an entrance, because they just jumped off of a fucking whale. She like, yep, I know what this is.
Step closer. And I'll kill you all.
Tracker weapons.
The cops were the unlucky ones in this situation. This big blue motherfucker. This dude's huge. Nope. She is not fucking around, man. Whether it's a sword or a spear, she has got it. She like, get the fuck off my spear so I can kill your homie next. I love that this fight sequence didn't have any music, too. That's something I can appreciate more and more as the years go on in cinema. They like, yo, we gotta get out of here. They running. Oof. Sound design on this movie is great, man. I love that. He kicks the spear back over to her like, yo, let's finish. Listen, honorable fights in movies are always appreciated. Oh. All right. I said honorable fights and then she kicked him in the nuts. Damn. She's like, this is one big motherfucker. She's like, soon as I get the feeling back in my legs, I'm going to fuck you up. Oof. She did that to herself, though.
Activating interpretation.
I'm Shuri, Princess of Wakanda. I demand that you take me to Namor. Do not bring harm to this girl.
Now, listen, Okoye, the lashing, the verbal lashing she's about to get from Queen Ramonda is kind of well deserved, because she told her ass. He's like, here, put this cool aqua mask on. Shuri's like, oh, this is some good shit here.
Ross, in the agency, you got any witnesses?
None. But we think it was the Wakandans.
Excuse me?
Our field ops got a tip from Langley that they were coming.
Right. Who made that call?
She did.
Director de Fontaine?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We've been on every one of them since.
I don't know what's the deal with this purple Psylocke streak that she's got. I don't know. Maybe is she Psylocke from X-Men? Is this a and is that streak an Easter egg? Is she a rogue variant? I don't know shit about her character.
You want to walk me through the evidence here or what?
Yeah.
Now wasn't this chick on Seinfeld?
So what happened here?
Let me check. I want to say she was on Seinfeld. I wouldn't. Look, she might be, but I'm not a fucking Seinfeld fan. I just never got it. I never found it funny. Ever. Is she on that shit? Let me see. Yep, she's on Seinfeld. She was on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That movie I can get into. Or that TV show, rather. I just lost one listener out there that was like, that's not a movie! She was on Christmas Vacation. Classic. She was on You People. I did not like that movie much at all. I felt that movie was so fucking dated.
They wear blue.
But yeah, she was on Seinfeld. I couldn't get with the show, man. I just don't understand.
I struck down three of them with blows that should have killed them, but they rose again. I wish to leave immediately to retrieve our princess.
Ramonda is so unimpressed right now. She's like, so y'all ain't got my back? Y'all just gonna sit there?
You will be stripped of your rank as general of Wakanda's armies and your status as Dora Milaje. Nigateta, Unkanikas. You may. Yatela. I've given everything.
This moment it was kind of bittersweet because you feel where she's coming from and how passionate she is about her ranking and her nation, her people, but it was kind of like the brown nosing moment. And yeah, she fucked up.
Perhaps we are being too hasty. She raised a spear against her own husband for Wakanda.
Where is her treacherous husband now? But in a place where she can visit, if she wished, mine.
Nah, he was filming Jordan Peele's Nope.
I am queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Have I not given everything?
With the single tear coming from the left eye. Check it out.
Feet, General.
Get the fuck out of my office.
I stood by you.
She did.
After Killmonger took the throne, and you and the elders in this room stood by him while I ran begging to the Jabari for protection.
That's right. She's right.
And I warned you about taking my daughter on this mission, and you lost her. So today, I am done.
You do not want a black woman saying that to you. I am done. That exhale was serious. She knew what that meant. She knew she was standing on business. That's like some of the best acting Angela Bassett. And don't get me wrong, man. Angela Bassett is amazing in everything. She's even great in Critters 4. Yeah, people, she was in Critters 4 in space. Like, but that was some of the best acting in that she's ever done in that one moment right there. So again, yeah, I know I said I was going to get it out the way, but I'll say it again. She got snubbed for this shit.
Yes, my queen.
For best supporting actress, hell yeah, she should have got it.
She was abducted.
I was.
Are you able to track her Kamoyo beats?
Ballistics found slugs all over Cambridge. Those Wakandans really took a tour of the city. I can't see how they figured out who built it. You know, that information is highly classified. Who's that? That's a new ringtone?
Director, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take this.
It's enough with the titles. Just take it. I don't care.
Hey, honey, sweetheart.
Ooh.
No, I'm with my boss. No.
Actually, she's leaving.
All right. I'm going to work from home and then have a shower.
Everett Roth.
Queen Ramonda?
What are you doing with Shuri's Kamoyo beads?
I didn't know they were hers, all right? I just found them at a pretty ugly crime scene. Do you have a student?
Shuri was trying to save her when they were both taken.
What? Taken by who? My agency assumes it was you, and I'm worried they might be onto the fact that I pointed Shuri and Okoye in the right direction. Look, if they're in danger, I want to help, but I can't if I don't know what's going on.
I am afraid there is a new world power.
Something told me to make 2 cups of coffee to prepare for this, people.
Or you mean someone else?
If you hear a lot of movement just now, I just had to go get the second cup.
Alert me if you're going
from over yonder.
Yeah, sure. Look, if there is anything I can do to help, let me know. I owe Shuri my life.
Creo, did Shuri have her earrings with her?
I lost track of them in the North Atlantic, but the people who took her spoke Yucatec Mayan.
She's like, this motherfucking Namor. Oh, Haiti. Look at that shot of Haiti, man.
Bonjour.
I just noticed. Okay. I never knew that was the kid from at the end of the movie. I didn't know that he pops up right here. I don't know how I didn't put that together. Now, again, I've only seen this movie a couple times all the way through.
Bonjour.
Yo, let me... listen. Lupita Nyong'o in this motherfucking movie, she gets on my last nerves in one part in particular. But her with these locks and this dress on, my God. You could tell she's still in mourning. But goddamn, I don't know what what it is about her in this movie. But she looks amazing in this film. Lupita Nyong'o is actually she's mixed with something. Let me look it up here. Oh, she's a Mexican Kenyan actress. That is it's one of the greatest hybrids I've ever seen, if I may say so myself. She's in this movie called, it's like a horror comedy called Little Monsters, where I think she's a music teacher, and she's trying to save these kids from zombies. I don't know if the zombies are the kids or whatever, but I do, it's been on my list for probably like 2 years now. I gotta get to it.
Nakia, daughter of your... Wherever you go, you are still Wakanda, and you know death is not the end.
That was some big assurance right there that she needed.
How is everyone at home? Shuri has been taken. What? You have infiltrated many nations before.
I was a different person.
I need someone who can find where she is being held and rescue her without being seen. Who on earth would risk war with Wakanda?
Okay, breathe.
Oh, don't tell me to breathe. What the hell are we?
We're in a cave. I'm not sure where.
Oh my God. What is that?
Glowworms.
Look how fucking beautiful that is. How can you? I mean, you can't really be mad if you wake up in a cave like that.
Black Panther that you can call.
It's one of the most luxurious caves I've ever seen.
Why not? Because it doesn't work like that anymore.
They don't need no chandeliers. They got glowworms hanging from the. So like, come on, man.
Black Panthers, when I get kidnapped.
She woke up in a nice hammock. We had this made for you. The best hosts ever. And they're underwater.
That is some super villain shit right there.
That's in every movie. Princess Leia. Belle from Beauty and the Beast. That white chick from Indiana Jones.
She talking about Kate Capshaw from Indiana Jones? Oh man, that's that's another one that's long overdue. Commentary for Temple of Doom, man. I'm telling y'all, greatest Indiana Jones movie of all time. Fight me, I don't care. I love it. Speaking of which, man, damn, I gotta get to. And I'm not looking forward to it either. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I still gotta get to commentary for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. It was very underwhelming. For it to be Harrison Ford's last Indiana Jones movie, I was very disappointed. And I was excited because James Mangold, who did Logan, directed it. And I was like, okay. You know, there were classic Indiana Jones moments in it. I think the de-aging of Harrison Ford to go back to like that Raiders of the Lost Ark indie was, the de-aging looked great. But that villain of Mads Mikkelsen or Michaelis Assassin, the motherfucker that was in Casino Royale just taking his inhaler all the time, he's a villain in every movie. He's the same villain in every movie. He's almost the same guy in every movie he's in altogether. Then Boyd Holbrook was in it, and I'm just like, I couldn't even enjoy him. They should have bought back Shia LaBeouf. And I don't know who the chick was. Was it Phoebe Walt? I don't know what her name was. But the chick that played Indiana Jones' goddaughter, I was not emotionally invested in their relationship at all. And, you know, it makes me appreciate Crystal Skull even more. Man, everybody hated on Crystal Skull when it came out. I didn't care for how they went crazy with the CG at times, but it was still a really entertaining Indiana Jones movie. But that last one, I was... Maybe I just need to give it a second watch and I'll feel different.
Siga perdida en la profundidad para siempre.
That is a very nice dress they made for her, though. And again, like this shot of the cave that they're in, you don't see caves like this in any or. Y'all know what the fuck I'm trying to say.
Princess. What?
Now, they're playing Namor's theme, but just sounds like they're playing it by way of flute. Or I don't know, maybe it's a C-sha, I don't know. Check his get-up. Look at the armor, though.
These are all Mesoamerican artifacts.
Like I said, man, set design, costume design, props, just... Overall look of this movie is beautiful.
She was. Then she became
cultural on two different ends.
How is never as important as why.
And this is a villain's backstory I didn't mind. Like Namor's backstory, it's like, oh, you kinda get it. Like you understand.
By Spanish conquistadors who brought smallpox. A hateful language and dogma from another world. Facing starvation, war, and disease, my people turned to Jack, our god of rain and abundance. Jack gave our shaman a vision.
And I'll say it again, man, like, you look at Ryan Coogler's directorial debut and then you flash forward to this. Flash forward or fast forward? I was on some Barry Allen shit. You fast forward to this, man. Like, this is such a great transition to see a black director make, man. It's very rare. He's not allowing himself to get typecasted into a certain type of film direction. And I'm not even sure if Ryan Coogler, and it's not to discredit anything he's done, but a lot of directors have a stamp. A lot of directors have a shot or a certain sense of framing where you're like, oh, that's the John Carpenter shot, or that's the Spike Lee shot right there, or that's the Antoine Fuqua shot, whatever the case may be. But Ryan Coogler is becoming so versatile that... He can do anything. I just don't know if there's a certain something that he always puts in his movies, which I'm fine with. That's kind of something John Singleton did. You know, if I'm talking black directors, John Singleton, you could kind of be familiar with a John Singleton movie with his early works like Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, even Higher Learning to a certain extent. But then in the 2000s, when you get to shit like Baby Boy and Shaft and Four Brothers, John Singleton's style of direction, like it didn't change drastically, but it did get significantly different. Who would have thought that the birth of witnessing the birth of a comic book movie villain would look so beautiful?
The plant gave me wings on my ankles and ears that pointed to the clouds. I was a mutant.
I think that's the first mention of the word mutant in the MCU.
Breathe the air our ancestors breathe.
Now, when he said that, that opened up the floodgates for the X-Men.
My mother mourned
straight
out on land that she once knew, and died with a broken heart. She made me promise to bury her in the soil of her homeland. Nothing could prepare me for what I found there.
This was rough. Just people enslaved like this. For this child to witness it is crazy. They like, oh shit, he can fly. Like, oh shit, I didn't see the wings on his ankles. My goodness.
Spanish man at bay cursed me.
Is that Cheech Marin? Look like him.
He called me. Un niño sin amor. El niño sin amor. The child without love. And I took my name from there.
Meanwhile, Shuri's like, I haven't been listening to you this whole time because this room just looks amazing.
Why are you telling me all of this?
So that you can understand why I had to kill the scientist.
What if we took her to Wakanda? Let us go. I give you my word to remain in my country.
I'm gonna risk that, princess.
Then keep me instead.
That's very noble.
I'd love to see your nation.
You can go down there and dad. And Patermia will grieve you almost instantaneously. Your blood will become toxic. And the pressure of the ocean will break every bone in your
body. Excuse me, people. I was holding in a sneeze.
We'll have some of them. Come on. Stay close.
Suit look like fucking what's the Big Hero 6 character? Like I can't even move. Damn, excuse me, people. I hope my allergies aren't acting up. But that you can barely move your arms in that suit. Ah, excuse me, folks. I guess that one last sneeze just couldn't hold in. Oh, this was, like, I love the look of, like, just this whole underwater civilization, man. But I love how at one point he says, I brought the sun to my people. And they could have had this place like extremely well lit, and I kind of appreciate the fact that they didn't do that, because I had already seen that in Aquaman. They made Atlantis, don't get me wrong, they made Atlantis look amazing, but this shit right here, Tolokan Capital City, that shot is gorgeous. And I appreciated that. I appreciate the fact that they're so far down. Realistically, it's, even if you bring the sun to your people, it's not going to be that well lit that far down in the ocean. So it was good that they decided not to make it look all, you know, crazy illuminated. And she's looking like, these people are cool. These people ain't so bad. Everybody's having fun and... See, man, it's movies like this and Avatar Way of Water that make you make you want to leave the surface and just reside underwater if you could. Beautiful. Sure, he's ready to have a timeshare down there. Could y'all imagine? I'm just gonna go out on a limb here and say it, because we're in this underwater sequence right here. And that shot right there. I brought the sun to my people. Love it. That shot right there. How would y'all feel if Ryan Coogler had directed a Sonic the Hedgehog movie? Because this shit, like, imagine Ryan Coogler doing a whole second or third act sequence in the Labyrinth Zone. There's no doubt in my mind he would have killed that shit. Ryan Coogler knew exactly what he was doing with this shot right here, because he got Lupita Nyong'o just... curved the fuck up in this outfit right here. Now, this thing she gets into, this little capsule that's about to go underwater, look, get somebody else to do it. Because I'm claustrophobic. And I know it's Wakandan technology, I understand.
Surface. Queen Mother, I found her signal. It's coming from an underwater cave. If she's down there, I'm sure I'll encounter resistance. How would you like me to proceed?
Retrieve the princess by any means necessary. I will attempt to draw Nemo out.
It's a badass suit, though, I ain't gonna lie. And that joint just opened up right for her, like, come on in. Opening up is fine, but closing like that? Nah, nope. Ain't no space to move in there. Oh, this the get down to lay down moment.
It was made with a plan to save the water. You are young, princess. With your age as I do, you realize we all lose everyone we love.
But when I lost my brother, just felt different. He suffered in silence. When he finally asked me to help him, I couldn't. How does that make sense? That the ancestors would give me gifts and skills to help me save my brother, and I couldn't. Why?
I don't have an answer for that question. My ancestors would often say, only the most broken people can be great leaders.
admire what you have built here. And how you've protected your people. But as princess of Wakanda, I will not stand for you killing that young woman.
10 toes down, stand your ground.
My nation will not rest until I'm...
He nodded his head like, I knew this was coming.
I'm not leaving without her. We need to find a peaceful way to resolve this.
It is no longer about the scientists. For centuries, the surface nation have conquered and enslaved people like us. Over resources. Since the day I buried my mother, I have prepared my people for the time they will come for us. And that machine is the sign that the time is now. I need to know if Wakanda is an ally or an enemy. There is no in between.
So you plan to wage war on the entire world, and you want Wakanda to help you? That's madness.
There isn't a nation that would have plundered Wakanda if given a chance. If we make an alliance, we can protect each other by striking them first. Then, when the threat of this nation has been eliminated, the scientists will be returned to Wakanda.
And if Wakanda does not accept, what then?
The scientists will die. And Wakanda will be the first nation to fall.
An attack on my people.
Oh. Yes.
I want you to listen to me.
He said yes.
Wakanda cannot win a war with Talokan.
He told her to her face very calmly, y'all ain't got enough motherfuckers to beat us. So choose wisely. Choose the winning team. That moment between those two is one of the best moments between the person who would become the hero and the villain. The person who would become the actual villain. Because I don't really think Namor is a villain at this point in the movie. It isn't until he loses one of his own that he loses his shit. But that exchange between those two right there. God damn. He's like, yo, she said, let's find a peaceful resolution. He's like, nah.
Nothing more. And then you guys send in a SWAT team.
I need to know, y'all the ops or what? Like, what's going on? I love that's got to be like one of the best moments in any comic book movie. One of the best exchanges ever. It's up there for me. It's up there with the exchange between Christian Bale and Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, Joker and Batman in that interrogation room. So well written, man. So well acted.
My sources are telling me that there's someone else out there. Could be, I don't know. You've got to give me enough time to investigate this properly, otherwise we're going to find ourselves at war with a country whose military capacity we can't even comprehend.
Director.
I think he's the expert.
I think it would be a mistake to attack Wakanda.
Yes.
We have a problem.
Cape Verde. Can we just talk about how good Angela Bassett looks in every single outfit she's in this movie?
Is my daughter alive?
Your princess is alive and well. She requested to be taken to Talokan. She will remain there for the time being.
What can I offer in exchange?
He's looking at her like, don't ask me that question, because you still fine as hell.
I'm preparing to blame Wakanda for your attack on their mining ship. Return my daughter and the scientist, or I will inform them of your existence.
If you tell the Americans about us, if you try to find us, or if I discover a single Wakanda ship in the ocean, I will kill the princess. I will come to Wakanda.
and I will kill you.
Damn. No holds barred. No rap. Telling you, Neymar's he's I called him Neymar like I was talking about that fucking soccer player. It was Neymar Jr. or something. But Neymar, he's doing all of this. You know, just these casual threats without really breaking a sweat. He hasn't really broken character just yet. You know, he hasn't gotten to the point where he's pissed off for real. And I think that part's about to come up. Not now, but God, Nakia got on my... It's her fault. It's her fucking fault. Did she just, I thought she just called her a bitch.
Are you okay?
Give me your beads, I can save her.
To go.
Sherry, I don't know who this lady is, but we need to listen to her.
Listen, I hit her with a sonic round. It's lit up from this distance.
There is no chance.
Don't understand. This will mean war.
She tried to fucking tell her, stupid ass. God damn. She just told her, stupid ass. Like, she didn't have to kill her, yo. She said, there's no chance. Like, you gonna tell Shuri that? Shuri's a G with those beads, man. She definitely could have saved her. Now, all of this shit really happened because Nakia was just fucking trigger happy down there. Now, I know she was supposed to go. Ramonda sent her to go retrieve the princess. I get it, but god damn it, man. Now, and now you done killed one of his people. Well, she's not dead, but she is dying. But now, you got one of Namor's people dying. They about to turn that shit into Wild Water Kingdom as soon as they fucking get there.
Thank you.
And they do, man. They come to Wakanda and set up shop. Like, they trash that shit. She's like, they got me, dog. They finally got me. Oh my god, and she said, can you save me? She's like, reach in my left pocket and get that joint out. Fire one up before I check out. And thus, Namor, the villain, was born. It's on now. It's on. Thanks a lot, Nakia. Thanks a lot. He got her in his ear. He's like, look, I don't need this shit right now. Oh, yo, this was like, I was nervous at this point. I was like, oh shit. Now, I know I said megalodon teeth. I don't know if the, I'm just assuming those are shark teeth. And it was such a badass shot, man, of him just coming down from the, from, you know, coming down into the water onto the throne like that. Jesus. I was blinded by hope of partnership. Yeah. He's like, he basically telling them in lame's terms, he's like, yo, I tried. But they thinking we sweet down here, so we gotta show them.
Yeah.
Nation became Kenetuko, Ukanatio, Titalokan.
I love how it sounds underwater too. It sounds like they're underwater, like muffled. Meanwhile, somebody's fishing at the surface. Like, y'all hear that? It sounds like people talking down there.
Princess, it is good to have you back. The city has been on edge since you left.
Go, fortify the sonic barriers for all waterways.
Princess, Neka.
This actress right here, Michaela, let me see what her name is. Michaela Coel. She was in something. I don't know if she was in The Woman King. She's in something else. Black Mirror, but I've never seen it. She's in a lot.
You saw an underwater empire.
She's in Star Wars The Last Jedi? I wouldn't know. Listen. That last Star Wars trilogy, I got to catch up on one, because I did see The Force Awakens. I did not see The Rise of Skywalker or The Last Jedi. I didn't see those. I'm all Star Wars out overall. Like, until something comes that really catches my attention. Like, I did like Solo. Loved Rogue One. I'm not going to lie. I loved Solo, too. I watched it a second time, like, a couple months ago, and it was really solid. But as far as the TV shows and shit, man, like, I've been told to watch The Mandalorian, which does look great. I saw a couple cameos in Obi-Wan, but I'm not a big Ewan McGregor fan.
The princess has been brought home by the war dog, Nakia.
Glory to Hanuman.
Glory to Hanuman.
The spy saves Wakanda once again. The queen will reward her with lifetime banishment, I'm sure of it.
She like, yo, sis, they done fired me, man.
After Thanos' attack,
give me a hug.
When you left without saying a word, it hurt.
You could tell Okoye was going through it since she got stripped of her ranking, because she walked around with her hoodie on and shit.
It was not easy. He was king. And
I mean, I walk around with my hoodie on all the time inside,
everyone.
So.
But to me, he was everything. My T'Challa.
When he was taken away from me just like that, I had to step away and let myself break. I couldn't just keep going as if nothing had happened, you know.
And it's, you know, she's on my fucking nerves right now, but it's understandable because everybody mourns differently. I love how subtle this was. Everybody's like, where is this water coming from? But they have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, shit. I forgot how soon it happens. That was a good shot right there. This is an attack I'd be terrified of, because this is natural disaster territory right here.
Stand down. That is an order.
Mother, with Aneka, we can provide air support.
Aneka, do not let her leave the
Mother,
land.
Mother, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Sorry.
Love you, bye.
You just hung up on the queen.
I just hung up on my mom. There's a difference. Come, let's go.
Yeah, everybody's done that to their parents at some point. Sharks, man. Oh, it's a whale. I was about to say, what the hell? Deep blue sea, shared universe. Here they go with these, you know, these kids bop sing-alongs. They actually sound like they sound like the kids singing on the score for Children of the Corn, the first one. And I'd be the only one in Wakanda. While all this is happening, you're going to see me putting the inflatable tubes on each limb. Inflatable tubes, carrying one of the, you know, the pool noodles, all of that. I love how the Wakandan ships, how the wings flutter like that. The small details, man. Get your ass out of here. Talk your shit, Baku. And I love that little moment. Riri didn't, she didn't want to just sit by. You know, she wanted to, she feels very much a part of this now. Oh, Namor, he is pissed. You know, I know he's in the water and everything, but Namor, like, you got them damn short shorts on. Put some length to them, Jones. Mm. Sam. A punch so impactful they had to slow motion that shit. He lucky he survived that punch. Yeah. Punctured a lung real quick. Oof. Oof. I love, you know, it looks like Namor is just jumping from wall to wall, like kicking off of each side of the wall, but that's just his wings helping him. Right in the control box. Sure, you're always trying to fix something. Just get the hell out. Just get up out of there. I loved Ramonda. No fear in her heart. She did not budge when he stabbed that glass. He's like, damn, this glass strong. I can't even get through it with the spear. And I love that Ramonda put Riri right behind her, like, stand back, because he ain't about to do shit.
What? Can we get here?
But I knew, man, it was certain parts of the trailer that I broke down when it came out. I knew Ramonda was checking out in this one, but the way that it happened, it's like, god damn, man, it was insult to injury, because Shuri's already lost her brother. So in the midst of her home front getting attacked, for her to lose her mother too. But I had a feeling. I said because Shuri, you know, her losing her brother and becoming Black Panther is it's not that it's too easy, but I feel like she had to endure a lot more to take up the mantle. So for her to, you know, for Ramonda to die in the process, I was like, yeah, that's gonna do it right there. I didn't want it to happen, but I had a very strong feeling. But at least Ramonda saved Riri in the process. So her death, I don't think her death was in vain at all. It's fucked up, man, because she was almost right. She was right there. She ran out of oxygen. A very noble death.
I will return with my entire army. And you will join us against the surface world. Or I will wash Wakanda from the face of the earth.
Look at his eyes. He means business.
Keep it back!
Bury your dad.
Whew!
Mourn your losses.
Mm.
You are queen now.
Ooh! That is, yo, Namor is cold-blooded.
Mama! Mama! Mama!
Voka con cargas.
Meanwhile, Koye's like, she's like, Queen, you gotta wake up. I need you to reinstate me. I need my job back. Nah, it's a sad moment. But you gotta laugh to keep from crying out, man. Cause this was the second part of the movie that made me cry the first time I watched it. And I'm just like, damn, twice in one movie. Usually I only get one tearjerker moment. You know, like if it's a Ghostbusters or a Spider-Man Homecoming or something like that. Or not Homecoming. What the fuck did I just say? What was that? Was it No Way Home? Where all the Spider-Men were in there. Or, you know, the Endgame. No, Endgame got me twice. Endgame got me twice when Iron Man finally died in his funeral. I almost cried. Like, Endgame, low-key, I almost cried when Iron Man hugged Spider-Man.
You must mourn her in accordance to the rituals of your ancestors. Do not bury yourself in your technology.
Why are you here?
I promised your brother that I would provide you with counsel and protection.
She looked him up and down like, I don't need your brother in protection.
Your tribal elders have approached me with a proposition.
And what is that?
They wish to evacuate the city and set up camp in Jabari Land.
So now you are keen to hear from a child who scoffs at tradition.
The world has taken too much from you for you to still be considered a child. It is in my people's interest to know which way your mind is leaning.
The elders are desperate. The city is vulnerable. If you are to provide for them, they will be in great debt to you.
And what of your heart? Which way is your heart leaning?
I just buried the last person who truly knew me. My heart was buried with her.
Again, that's credit to the writers on board with this, man. And And who would have thought, you know, when we're introduced to M'Baku in that first movie, you would have never thought that they would have that they would share a moment like that. And Shuri is very, I'm not even going to say resentful, but she's just very, like, she's in a headspace in this movie that it goes up and down, man. Especially in the first act, where you clearly see she's mourning her brother. She feels responsible for him dying.
What are you doing?
Now her mother's gone.
And?
Tragedy strikes the international community. Sources can now confirm that Queen Ramonda, daughter of Lumumba, has died. Western allies say that civil conflict was the likely cause of the Queen's untimely.
She should have put on TMZ instead.
You have any comment?
Because TMZ would have reported it the moment, you know, before Namor even showed up to Wakanda. TMZ will know somebody passed away before that person even knows.
What about the beads?
Mind your motherfucking business.
The beads, I had them bugged before you ever even got there. I've been privy to every conversation you've had, including that treasonous call with the Queen. May she rest in peace. But it's good. Well, for us.
Well, you know what? The Wakandans saved my life. They're good people.
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought for a second what they could be doing? Ever thought what
I wouldn't even took it that far. I'd have been like, you ever thought for a second? Okay, never mind. Thinking's not your strong suit. I don't care for her character at all, but I really don't like her.
Val, please.
It's Director DeFontaine.
Your mother protected me like I was one of her own. The least that I could do is try to return the favor.
We need to find a way to weaken Namor.
Even weaken, he's still gonna be a problem.
The Black Panther has never failed to protect Wakanda.
I thought the Black Panther was gone.
Brother is dead. But it doesn't mean the Black Panther is gone.
That's right. Now again, I was very weary, man. I was very concerned about how they were going to make Shuri into the Black Panther, into the new Black Panther. But I think they give her reason enough to,
yes, princess,
to go through with this process and become that.
Since this was grown from vibranium-rich soil, it may share some base level similarities that we can exploit.
As you wish, princess.
Please upload my brother's DNA also.
Uploading now.
Sure, he really is a genius, though. Sound like Lil Yachty or something.
Why doesn't he look like them? His physiology is completely different. None of them fly or have pointed ears like him. The women that were guarding us, they have water over their mouths and on their necks. He didn't have that.
Several organisms don't need gills to extract oxygen from the water, so it's like a jellyfish. Just absorbs the oxygen from its skin. It's a process called diffusion.
Without selecting the ruler, is a day wasted.
We must deal with Namor before he brings his warriors back here.
And how are we to deal with a man with that much power?
In that attack before he took out your plane, he jumped back into the water. What if that's what makes him strong? He's breathing air and getting oxygen from the water on his skin. If we could find a way to dry his ass out, he won't be as strong.
Yo, that's it.
Griot, we need to convert the Royal Talon Fighter into a pervaporation chamber.
Is that even possible?
Yes.
You're going to help us trap him.
Please show Miss Williams where she's working.
Back this way.
How old were you when you built your first machine?
3. My stepdad was a car mechanic. He wanted to build airplanes, but he gave me these tools and let me just work it out. So who taught you how to do all that you do?
My big brother.
I was the tip of the spear of Wakanda's army. This is not me. Besides, I'm a civilian now. I turned in my weapon.
I built you a new spear as well.
A new one?
Yes.
What is this contraption's name anyway?
The Midnight Angel.
I knew I was fucking right about the name. I felt like I was slightly off a little bit, but sister, yeah, I was right.
To be ready when I call you. Please.
Shoot.
Yes.
How many of these did you make?
I look for you at the Jabari outpost.
I won't be forced out of my home.
You have such a rebellious spirit.
Why did you join the Dora?
Why do you care?
I still have a lot of fight left in me. Tell me, Aneka, daughter of Kayana, do you still have some fight left in you?
What do you have in mind?
This was a good sequence, though. This needed to happen. See Shuri going crazy. You see Riri going crazy. Okoye.
What's the confidence rate?
98.7%, Princess. Would you like me to print the heart-shaped herb?
She's like, hell yeah.
Molo sana, Shuri. Thought you'd be back in Haiti by now.
I'm still Wakandan, you know.
Yeah, well, this is still all your fault. So, you look good, but you are on my nerves.
Yes, what you have here now is a chance to restore Wakanda's protector. It would be the greatest gift since Bashenga's discovery. We'll soon find out. Come. Creo?
Yes, Princess.
Print it.
Run it.
How would we know if it works?
If it glows?
Now, what if the machine was just like, oh, I fucked up. I printed the wrong thing. Well, that was fast.
Quintiki!
Mission accomplished.
Shouldn't we be burning incense or something? Only Basque knows how the ancestors will make it to this lab. Are you sure you don't want me to bury you?
No. I need you to have access to my chest, just in case I go through cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest? She's joking.
Don't they teach you nothing up at Cambridge?
Right.
This moment, no. I did not expect. Obviously, you got to, you know, she's about to take the herb and go to the ancestral plane and get the strength of the Black Panther. But what's about to happen, I did not expect. It's a sequence that I would have never guessed. Sipping on that perk. Sipping on that lean. It's like, let me not get stereotypical. Meanwhile, they accidentally gave her Welch's grape. The fact that they put her there, is she just completely dry after coming out the water? I can't really tell. That's a beautiful shot right there. But the fact that they put her there, you know, and it's still flooded is crazy. But this shit, this reveal, I was like, yo, I was hype. I'm telling y'all, I was hype for this reveal. Because I did think, I was like, oh my God, they're about to CG Chadwick Boseman. And then they spin this camera around and we see Michael B. Jordan.
Chidaka.
Little cousin.
Sup, cuz.
Wow. It's never as important as why, right?
Look at the threads that, first of all, his hair is done up. I don't think that's that Michael B. Jordan really grew all that hair out for this part. But hair locked up all crazy looking fly.
You didn't believe that.
The threads he got on. Like, if I had a six pack, I'd wear that to an all white party.
So why did you take it then? You don't have a lot.
No, I wouldn't. I would need a shirt.
So I can be strong.
Strong to do what? See? We're more alike than you think. I took it to avenge my ancestors too.
I'm nothing like you. You took it for yourself, then destroyed the rest. Unworthy king, afraid of being replaced. Just a coward.
He's like, look, I know we're on the ancestral plane right now, but watch how you talk.
How many people like your scientists did Wakanda protect before I took the throne? Cowards. That was the Panthers that came before me.
Michael B. Jordan said that this was like one of the hardest secrets he ever had to keep from his family and friends. Was the fact that he had a cameo in this movie.
Left us with no protector. The men were struck and killed my mother. Their blood is on your hands.
No, that ain't on me. And don't you dare take that away from your mother. She sacrificed her life to protect a young girl from the lost tribe. Your father, he was a hypocrite. He would have killed that girl. He should have killed his own brother. T'Challa was too noble. He let the man who murdered your father live. And here you stand.
She's looking at him like, how many times you gonna walk circles around me?
Don't take care of business.
Stand on business.
Are you okay? Who did you see?
She should just woke up swinging like, I saw Creed! What the fuck going on? Oh my God, man. Speaking of Creed, rest in peace, shout out to Carl Weathers, who recently passed away, man. The original Creed, Apollo Creed. That was some crazy news, man.
Hey, Shuri. They abandoned me.
They would never do that.
I did everything I was supposed to do. I recreated the herb.
Okay.
I just did your stupid ritual, and for what?
Relax.
Why didn't they come for me?
Just relax.
Nakia was scared. Damn. Right. She's like, well, it's time to make me a suit.
I think you're going to need a suit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm just looking back on how much shit I talked about this movie, man. I remember when the first poster dropped and it was an empty Black Panther helmet. And I was like, yeah, I know what they're foreshadowing, that somebody's about to take up the mantle, but come on now. Like, I'm telling y'all, man, I will stand 10 toes down on the fact that I was dead wrong about this movie. I talked so much shit about it. And I remember when Daniel Kaluuya announced he wasn't returning for the sequel. I guess it was between this and Jordan Peele's Nope, and he probably was like, yo, I've done Black Panther before. I want to do something different with this horror sci-fi movie. And I was like, see, Daniel Kaluuya's not coming back. That's a red flag. I was talking reckless about this movie. Yep, it's drop-off time. She like, let me show y'all the new fit. Let me show y'all the new lay real quick. Superhero landing. M'Baku could play like a black saber tooth variant or something like that. He's struggling. He's like, you are much stronger than before, little sis. She just snapped his arm like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. He's like, all right, mercy, mercy. She has done it. The suit does look badass on her. I'm not going to lie. They give you a quick glimpse of the suit in the first trailer, because I remember doing the trailer reaction for it, and at the end of it, you know, they mesh they merge the music that they've got with Kendrick Lamar's We Gonna Be Alright, and at the end of it, it's like, it says, when I wake up, and when he says wake up, they show the hand in the Black Panther suit, get those claws out. And I let out a sound. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I was hyped. Now, somebody said that they ended the trailer saying, when I wake up and show the Black Panther claws, they said it was going to be Killmonger that was coming back. And they said that Namor was going to have something to do with him coming out the, you know, coming back out the ocean. I don't know. It was a bunch of theories.
They don't call him General or King. They called him Kukulkan. What is that? The Feather Serpent God. What? You think because we are living in the mountains, we do not have access to boots?
Elders, with your permission...
Did he say boots or boats?
I would like to talk with Lord M'Baku alone. Farewell.
Farewell.
Namor's not finished. He promised to destroy the surface world. Now is our opportunity to take him. What are you afraid of?
War. If Namor is indeed a god to his people, killing him will risk eternal war.
And so what? Was my mother's life not worth eternal war?
Of course it was. Of course she was. But it is not what she would have wanted for you. That is not what I want for my people.
You speak of my mother as if she's still here. Of what she would have wanted for me. Her hopes and her dreams. But she's dead. She's gone! Namor drowned her! Right in front of me!
I mean, technically, it didn't happen in front of you, but...
Her goals! Her hopes for me! It doesn't exist. It doesn't matter anymore. What matters is what I want. And what I want is Namor dead.
Again, like I said, in my personal opinion, this movie's got a lot of themes going for it. Grievance is definitely one of them, because everybody's going to deal with it differently. I don't remember which commentary I recently said it on, where I said you can't really tell somebody how to grieve. But grievances, again, it's one of those double entendre things when it comes to this movie, because the cast is grieving, you know, while the characters they play that they're playing are too. And it made for some great fucking performances in this film. Just casually saying good morning when he's about to go to war.
I want you to know you have a home with me in Haiti. Here, take my hand. Emma. Jury, I want you to be honest with me. Who did you see when you took the hem?
She like, look, I'm focused. Get out of my face.
If you go for vengeance, it will not fill the hole left from her loss. It will only grow larger, and it will consume you. It already has.
That music again, man. He's like, what is this? What is this sound? He told them to get out the water immediately. It came ready. There we go. Notice how the majority of them went under the water to, like, not retreat, but take cover, and Namor just started flying right towards them. Oh my god, Riri's suit, man. A lot of people were hating on the suit. I don't mind it.
For the queen.
Sonic waves look crazy. Now, who do y'all think will win in a battle? Tolakon or Pandora from Avatar? Because they both get busy, man. There's a scene in Avatar 2 where they've got a, I think there's some kids being held hostage, captive, whatever you want to call it, and they got to rescue them, and the Na'vi start getting busy, man, and they don't need any guns or none of that. She start getting nervous. She's like, this guy is not going down easily.
You now,
Retribution.
Retribution. Now, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the lines that Shuri gave where I thought it was a tad bit sketchy. I know it's a comic book movie, but it was almost too comic bookish in a live action. But sure.
We got him.
Good.
Nemo has been captured. Buyalani Emva.
Like, let's pull these ladies back up. They've whooped ass enough throughout this movie. Shot is so good, man. That shot was in the trailers where there's just so many people from Tolokan on those whales. Yeah, damn.
That can't be good.
Squad deep for real. Didn't they let loose all of those grenades? That is insane, yo. Almost tipped that joint right over.
Panther, the Sea Leopard has lost power and they are experiencing significant casualties.
Okoye! Panther!
It is time.
Hey, like, we got reinforcements, y'all. And the reinforcements fly. Like, they got land, sea, and air covered.
Catastrophic. His spear is made of raw vibranium. The ship could explode at any second.
Get us to the desert.
Catastrophic. Namor went kamikaze. He's like, listen, I'll take us both down. Keep playing. And that's what he did. Look at that shot, man. Because the ship is just getting swarmed at this point. That was smooth. Just snuck the shit out of Shorty. Alright, now, this is another thing. Did I want a much crazier fight sequence with Shuri and Namor? Yes. Yes, I did. Ooh. And it's not that it's bad. I don't know. I think visually it looks better than the fight sequence with Killmonger and T'Challa at the end of the first movie. I thought Shuri was gonna go crazy, you know, like when you are confronting the person that killed the family member or something like that in a movie, you're supposed to go wild. I'm always expecting somebody to go Peter Parker. Like when he was in No Way Home, and he was beating the brakes off of Green Goblin. Damn. Shuri, stop letting him kick your ass. Dude, she dug them claws into him. Yeah, because that's going to work. You will greet your ancestors. Oh, Lord. Bye-bye. That was a nice double kick right there. That's right. Oh, I forgot he stabbed her like that. He was fuck a stab and he impaled her. I forgot. Oh, he sticks it in there. God. Shuri's like, yep, that definitely went through the suit. It's like when Bronski gets stabbed in Jason X. He's like, it's gonna take more than a poke in the rib to put down this old dog. And then Jason stabs him with this spike a second time. And he's like, yeah, that'll do it. Sure, he started to second guess his Black Panther shit after this. She's like, look, man, I'm fucked up. She said, I'm not cut out for this superhero shit. Oh, man.
Like me.
I'm not my brother. Nemo will beg me for mercy. As I stand and watch as he dies.
Okay, yeah, now it's coming back to me. This outcome was definitely... And I know, it's the MCU. You want to keep certain people around, but... Ooh! Ugh. I know it's the MCU. You want to keep certain people around for sequels and spinoffs and the shared universe and all of that, but... It's that Walking Dead shit that I hate. The forgiveness? Nah. She should have fucking killed Namor in the worst way possible. I keep calling him Namor. Namor. It's a drinking game for my commentary, people. Anytime I say Namor, take a shot. I think I'm a little late for that because the movie's almost over.
Wakanda forever!
Fried chicken. He should have been way more... Mutant or not, bruh. You should have been way more burnt up than that. His back is well done, though. I'm not gonna lie. I just thought it would, like, the burns would cover more ground. And I remember watching this for the first time. I was like, yo, I said, kill him. I said, kill him, kill him, kill him. You better. I said, no forgiveness. And even though she says she's not her brother, T'Challa, I don't think T'Challa, this is just the fan in me, I don't think T'Challa would have killed him either, because he spared Killmonger. The Killmonger then threw his ass off an awful waterfall. He forgave him and wanted to save him. You know, when he was dying, he's like, maybe we can still save you. And he's like, why? So you can lock me up? And then again, that's to credit the writing of that first movie, man. Killmonger said, it's not verbatim, don't quote me on it, but he said, bury me in the ocean with my ancestors, because they knew death was better than bondage or something like that. There was a podcast episode I did one time where I got that line completely wrong, and I went back and thought about it. I was like, damn, I should delete the whole fucking episode for that.
Show him who you are.
She's like, shorty, we need him for the sequel. Don't you kill him.
Yield. And Wakanda will protect your oceans. We will protect your secrets. Yield. And your people will live.
He's like, all right, man, y'all win.
Vengeance has consumed us. We cannot let it consume our people.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, you know, killed her mother and gloated about it. When he said, bury your dead, mourn your loss, you are the queen now. That, like, she should have had a flashback to when he said that, because that was, again, like I said, insult to injury. They looking at them like, yo, they working together now? It's a fire album cover. Shuri and Namor. I would have been the one Wakandan like, you, what you let him live for? He's supposed to come back with his severed head and his wings shoved in his ears or something like that. But I understand. I guess there's been enough loss and grievance in the movie as a whole that they didn't want to kill Namor off in this film. Plus, I feel like he was set to be too popular of a villain and just a character in general for them to get rid of him. But like I said, had they would have killed Namor in this movie, it's Marvel. You can bring back whoever you want. The question is, how do you want to do it, and do you want to do it? Is it a good idea? Planting them herbs. Remember who you are. Just look up to the sky, you'll see. But I pray that the universe
gives you way more than you deserve. Yo. All set to head home?
As long as you show the police won't be waiting for me at the airport.
Don't worry, took care of that. But you might want to slow down on your homework for higher business. Airport sleeping, I can't help you with that.
Riri Williams done missed like a month of school chilling in Wakanda and underwater Tolokan kingdoms. And that's a hell of a story to tell your classmates when you get back. Like, yo, so where you been at? None. Just chilling in underwater caves with sea, you know, glow worms, and some guy with wings on his ankles tried to kill me. No big deal.
It was worth it.
Ain't nothing.
It's my dad's car. I used to work on it before. Show us his hat.
Every part. Have it shipped to Boston. Be there before you arrive.
Fire. Please have her driving that car in the Ironheart series. It's only right.
Ms. Williams' transport has arrived.
Look after yourself.
Sure you're not trying to slide to Chicago? Catch a Bulls game?
It sounds fun.
She's like, no, I'm a Lakers fan.
I think I need to take care of.
I remember just being so impressed with this these shots from this area in that first Black Panther trailer. I think they played that first Black Panther trailer during, it was like one of the playoff games or something. And I was like, wow, this film just looks like a dream come true.
The Black Panther sends her regards, but she will not be joining us today. I, M'Baku, leader of the Jabari tribe, son of Wakanda, wish to cherish.
Oh, God.
For the throne.
Here you go with this shit again. Yeah, Namor got humbled a little bit. He went back to painting pictures on the wall. The thought of you kneeling to the Wakandans, the Black Panther had every... Oh, okay. He's like, yo, stop being in my ear with this nonsense. It's basically what he wants to tell her.
Check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Shaw.
Good Lord, they have literally just dropped the trailer for Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. So y'all gonna expect that trailer reaction tomorrow. I'm actually gonna do it once I wrap this up, but trailer reaction won't be out until tomorrow. Am I looking forward to Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2? Not really. I'm just curious to see if it's gonna be worthwhile. They got more money this time, but that first one was garbage. Straight up garbage. This has been a hell of a ride, people. We are 2 hours and 38 minutes and 14, 15, 16 seconds into this, man. I appreciate y'all if y'all have been sticking around this long. This time it will be uploaded, trust me.
See, hey.
We have not come this far a second time to let this commentary slip again.
It's good to see you.
Definitely not during Black History Month.
Just give me one moment, eh? Actually, I think I should do it on my own. Of course.
This was a moment. I know some people got, you know, they teared up when something gets revealed here. Wait, is it a mid-credit or post-credit scene when they reveal it? I can't remember. Or is it here? I don't remember, but something that gets revealed to Shuri, it teared up a lot of people, but it sets up the future for the Black Panther property as a whole. But, you know, she's doing the ritual that her mom put her onto, which was a nice callback to that moment. Then we get Mr. Chadwick Boseman, the late, great himself. You get the flashbacks of her and T'Challa together. They did such a great job of honoring Chadwick Boseman, man, because, you know, there's a fine line between honoring somebody and cashing in on, you know, their death. I don't know of any movie that's done that, but I'm pretty sure it's happened. And I remember somebody once saying that they kind of cashed in and advertised, like, Fury 7, like it was Paul Walker's last movie and all this other shit. But they didn't, man. They did it in a way that this movie does. I feel like they made something Paul Walker would have been proud of, and it's the same thing here. I feel like they did something that Chadwick Boseman would have been proud of. If the credits start rolling, I'm sure it was a post-credit sequence that they do the reveal in. But we got a little bit of time. Let's see if they stick around with it. But first of all, this song's sad as fuck. Beautiful Rihanna song, but it's sad as fuck. And for them to play that at the end of this movie. So, you know, if it wasn't a surprise, people, we survived the attacks from Namor and Tola Khan. And Wakanda has survived and stayed strong. I've got this really goofy-ass smile on my face as Rihanna just sings so gracefully in the background. But this is a 10 out of 10, man. This is one of those cases where I almost am almost kind of sort of absolutely maybe positively possibly sure that I may like the sequel better than the original. Now, don't get me wrong. Chadwick Boseman was a black superhero for the ages. We had never seen anything like it. You know, we had Blank Man, we had Steel, we had Meteor Man. You know, we had side characters in Marvel movies. We had side characters in DC movies. But we didn't have anything that was just so culturally impactful as Black Panther. And Chadwick Boseman became like a certified icon for the culture with that movie. So to lose him and for them to pull off what they pulled off in this movie, it, like I said, it should have never been a doubt in my mind that they would do this movie justice, especially being as though Ryan Coogler and cast and crew were so close to Chadwick Boseman. You know, they honored him in a way that I was not really prepared for. Even in the trailers, you know, as good as the trailers were, I wasn't prepared for how good this movie was going to be. And this is a movie where you don't really, I don't feel the runtime. It was something I've always been weary of doing commentary for this. I'm like, this is a long movie, but you don't feel the runtime because the movie, it is so well written, it's well directed. I think the special effects definitely stepped it up. And the set designs, the costume designs, the prop design, all of it is beautiful to look at. It's so beautiful on the eyes. But it's crazy for me to say that this is better than the original because there is no Chadwick Boseman with the exception of the flashbacks. And he was, you know, not to discredit any of the other cast members, but he was the shining star of that movie. He was the driving force at its core, I feel like. And he had a great supporting cast, but to feel that way about a movie that he's not featured in, a sequel, is crazy, man. Okay, here we go with the mid-credit sequence. We can talk about this shit. Because this was a little wild.
Shuri? Can we join you now?
She like, who this little mother?
This is my son, Toussaint. Toussaint? This is your auntie, Shuri.
Hi.
Shuri's like, hold up. And I never noticed, you know, until watching this movie. This is probably like the third or fourth time I've seen this altogether. But I never noticed that when they first get to Haiti to find her, he's there.
Your father, your Baba, prepared us for his death, didn't he?
Baba Yaga.
But he didn't want us to go to the funeral because he felt the time was not yet right. So we had our own ceremony for him here.
Did my mother meet him?
She did.
Oh, that's what Ramonda had to tell her when she was like, there's something I should tell you about your brother. And Namor just washed ashore and just started threatening him and shit.
Toussaint is a beautiful name. It holds a great history.
Yours is cool too, I guess.
I guess. I'd be like, nobody likes a smart ass kid.
Is that true?
Yes, I can keep a good secret.
Toussaint is my Haitian name.
Ogubani.
My name is Prince T'Challa, son of King T'Challa.
She's like, wait. What? Which sets a whole nother dynamic in motion for this property, man. A worthy post-credit sequence. I love how it says dedicated to our friend Chadwick Boseman. That was only right. But, yeah, it's a 10 out of 10, man. Like I said, to see Ryan Coogler go from Fruitvale Station to Wakanda Forever, and I know he's got more in store, is one of the best transitions I've ever seen. It's one of the best transitions I've ever seen for a black director, just a creative mind in general. This movie's got, like I said, so many themes. There's love, there's hate, there's revenge, there's grievance, you know, there's unity. This is something I said about when I did the commentary for Beat Street. It's so many different themes that are thrown at you, where it's such a great juggling act, such a great balancing act, and it could have gotten messy, but it didn't. And you could tell there was a lot of love put into this, and with grievance being one of the main themes, I do feel like it shows, man. I know I sound like a broken record, but the fact that the cast and crew was grieving, it allowed the performances to just be that much more powerful and realistic. And it, again, it's one of those things where art imitates life. You know, they were grieving the character in the movie and grieving their brother, their friend in real life. And you don't get a lot. You know, there's been movies where an actor or actress has passed away and they decide to, you know, they may recreate them and bring them back for a sequence. They may write their characters off and have them die off screen, or just write them out the show or TV show or movie in general. But very rarely do you feel engaged with the cast members in grieving that loss, man. And this, you know, this and Furious 7 and also Ghostbusters Afterlife are three prime examples of when the actors really died and they give you a chance to relive moments with the actors and their characters. So big shout out to Ryan Coogler for this, man. It's like, you know, undoubtedly 10 out of 10. I don't know how they're going to top this. This is a tough act to follow for me. And I also got to shout out Joe Robert Cole for helping Ryan Coogler with the script. I don't know what they're going to do next, but I know I'm on board for it. I don't give a fuck about the hate for it. Fuck it, it's Black History Month. You know, amazing, strong black women at the forefront, at the helm of this movie overall. It's something amazing. I feel like, again, we should be lucky to have a movie like this, because we would have, decades ago, we would never had this. But being as though there's so many doors and windows and avenues opening up for movies like this to be made, why stop now? I feel like we should keep our foot on the gas, man, and just keep this shit going. You know, diversity, equality on screen, versatility on screen, it all works. And again, this is two different cultures combined to be represented properly in a movie like this, man. So this was, like I said, it's more of an event than a movie for me, man. And it's, I hold this pretty near and dear to my heart. The first one also, but it's something about this one, the way that they handled it, is just insane, man. So shouts out to Letitia Wright and Lupita Nyong'o, Angela Bassett, Danai Gurria, Winston Duke, Tanaka Huerta, Martin Freeman, Dominique Thorne, Michaela Coel, everybody that was involved in the making of this movie. It's a lot of names, but big shouts out to all of them, because it shows in the work, man. It's amazing. It's an amazing, beautiful film. And almost 3 hours into this, man, like I said, I appreciate y'all rocking out with me. But y'all already know where to go, man. And if y'all don't, y'all can follow the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Podbean, and Podcast Addict. Shout out to Spotify for podcasters. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, Romero Tudor. Shout out to the Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. And last but certainly not least, shout out to the Tudor reviewers, the listeners, the lovers, the supporters out there. Like I said, man, more commentary to come for Black History Month. I know I said I was going to stay away from the themes, but this was mandatory for me. And hopefully y'all are enjoying it so far. We got a long way to go. This is only the second one we've done for the month. But like I said, once I wrap this up, you know, work out the bugs and probably get some more coffee. Yeah, I think I'm going to get some more coffee. I'm going to do the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 trailer. Not really looking forward to it, but curious nonetheless. And that'll be out tomorrow for y'all. This should be up by, I don't know, let's say 5, let's say 6, maybe 7, maybe 8, maybe 9. I don't know. But I'll just say later on in the evening, man. I won't give y'all a specific time. I will tease it. You know, I usually tease on Instagram and on Facebook when the drop is going to be. Put little emojis or some shit up that hint at the clues and all of that. And then I'll just drop it. But yeah, sometime in the early evening, you guys can expect this commentary, man. Hopefully y'all enjoy it. But people, y'all already know, the love and support y'all show me, I show it back to y'all tenfold and then some. So with that being said, people, yours truly, Romero Tudor. Another episode of Tudor Reviews in the can. I'll check y'all on the next one.